Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. Man, we've been on the road lately. I would like to give everyone a shout out who's been tuning in to the live broadcast. Our numbers have been off the chain. Off the chain. And it's only because we bringing y'all the content that you want to really hear. That's why all of this is happening. So we bringing you guys the content that you really want to hear. Now, if you're just tuning into this live, I need you guys to like the video, share it out, get it to a friend. If you really fill in the channel, you could go right there. Donate via Cash App, $Progressive Action 100. Yo, we got some explosive information regarding NYPD. Some explosive information. Something just wasn't sitting right with me with one of these police officers that they got parading around in the media, and they telling us it's safe. They playing in our face. NYPD is playing in the workers' and riders' face who ride New York City Transit. Blatantly playing in our face. And when I tell y'all, I got some explosive information, but not a lot of y'all. I got some, you know what? I just discovered it. I'm over here, you know, trying to put together a show. I came across a video, and I say, yo, it's something about this police officer that does not sit right with me. Does not sit right. I did literally one Google search, and everything popped up. Everything popped up. So you guys see the title of the show tonight. It's called The NYPD Lies Continue, and we're going to discuss the Local 100 Lobby Day today. You guys will want to hear what I have to say about Lobby Day today. It's very important. I'm going to give a real perspective. Some people may be surprised, but I'm going to be 100% real. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't know what should I cover first, but before, I don't know if should I cover the NYPD. The NYPD story is huge, people. The NYPD story is huge that I'm going to drop the bomb on today. It's huge. I got to figure out what I'm going to talk about first. But before I talk about anything, a rally coming up May 1st in front of 2 Broadway at 12 p.m. It's our annual assault rally. This is for the riders and workers of New York City. This is for the riders and workers of New York City. We are not going to allow anybody to play in our face, whether it's NYPD, whether it's the MTA, whether it's the Local 100 administration. We are not going to allow them to play in our face when it comes to these assaults. They are lying to the people. This is a fact. This is a fact. They are lying to the people, and we are not going to allow that. We're not going to allow that. We're not going to allow it at all. That's not going to happen. They're playing in our face. So make sure that you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that our assault rally is May 1st at 12 p.m. to Broadway. The link to RSVP is in the link is in the description of this video. Make sure to hit that link. Just so when NYPD called me to say, how many people you expecting, Mr. Thompson? I could just look straight at Facebook. But I'm telling you guys, tonight I have some really explosive information regarding an NYPD officer that they're throwing in the media. Now, I'm kind of confused. I don't know what I want to do first. Should I touch on the lobby day, or should I touch on NYPD, the NYPD news is wild crazy. It's wild crazy. Trust me, I'll tell you guys, it is wild crazy. But before, you know what, before we get into that, let's touch on this real quick. A fear invader maced two NYPD officers at a subway station after they confronted him for not paying the fare. If you ask me, that's not a safe system. If you got NYPD officers being maced, what would they do to a transit worker? What would they do to another person that's riding a train? Right? For some strange reason, NYPD is saying that if there's no shootings, then everything else is safe. If there's a shooting, then it may be unsafe. And then they count, well, it was one shooting, then they start playing the percentage numbers, the data percentage numbers, start playing with us. I'm going to get into that. There's video I'm going to release today. But like I said, I got some explosive material against an NYPD officer. And I have to ask Eric Adams, what the hell is going on, my brother? You put this play into play. You put this play into play. I have to ask Eric Adams, what was he thinking, right? But before I get into that, I came across this. Actually, somebody sent it to me. Check this out. Look how crazy this is. You have a guy on a train, right? His cheeks is out. There's a little girl there. There's women around. This is not safe. This is not safe. But in the NYPD eyes, this will be considered safe. Specifically, yeah, they crazy. They are absolutely crazy. If someone was to go tell a conductor, the only thing, and when the conductor calls it in, the only thing they're going to say is signal for police route. When NYPD keeps saying, there's thousands of officers that come into the system every day. Thousands of officers that come into the system every day. Then why is this stuff still happening? I remember one time I was operating my train. A guy came to my train and was like, yo, bro, there's a dude in there masturbating in front of like a little girl. It was a packed train. It was like little kids on the train. He said, yo, if you don't get this guy off the train, I'm going to seriously hurt him. And I called it into RCC, and guess what RCC told me? Signal for police en route. You had a guy exposing himself in front of kids, in which the situation was about to get crazy because that guy was about to take action. And the only thing RCC tell us, and this is for the riding public to know, don't get mad at the workers when we call things in and nothing happens. You don't see the police response you want. The train is not being stopped. The MTA do not care about slowing down or stopping service because your child may see a dude masturbating on the train. That's not how it works in New York City Transit, right? They go tell us the signal for police en route, and it's going to be what it is after that. I forgot to tell you guys, the phone lines are open. I know y'all see it on the bottom of the screen. Call in live 563-999-3714. I'm telling you, this information that I got is crazy. It's crazy regarding NYPD. You want to know what? I'm going to start off with the NYPD. I'm really thinking here. What story should I start off? Should I start off with Labor Day? The NYPD? Yeah, y'all going to have to stick around for the NYPD story. I'm telling y'all this story. The story is crazy. I'm going to just go straight to Lobby Day. So I want to show you guys some pictures from Lobby Day. This is myself. I did not take a lot of pictures myself. I took a lot of pictures with people, but I just want to show you from my perspective when I did take the picture what Lobby Day looked like. I'm going to explain to you guys what Lobby Day is. As you can see, there was a lot of people there. Cannot lie about that. There were a lot of people there, right? And what Lobby Day is supposed to be is where the union invite the regular members, the regular membership up to Albany to, I don't even know what their purpose is. It's more entertainment than anything. But the purpose of Lobby Day is to go up to Albany, meet politicians, set up meetings with them, and let them know of things depending on which committee they in, your complaints, and you know, be thorough in your complaints. The Local 100 Lobby Day has become a Broadway show. It has become a Broadway show. Now, I'm going to be honest. There were a lot of people there. There was a lot of people there. There wasn't a lot of people from RTO. I wish more RTO people would have came out. Maybe if I would have promoted it myself, more people would have came out, because it's hard to – I get it. It's hard to follow this union leadership. I get it. But the turnout overall was great. The food that they had, I did not eat any of the food, but the food looked good. They had, like, baked salmon, and they had fruit platters. They had all types of food that looked great. They had vendors there. I did not check out all of the tables, but from me just observing, the members seemed engaged. You know, the union did their regular thing. You know, they're not good at delivering messages. They relied on the politicians to go on the stage and deliver those messages to the membership of what they're going to do and how they're going to help us and things of that nature, yada, yada, yada. And a lot of it, is nothing but lip service. It's word salads. Lip service, word salads. That's all it is, right? The way lobbying supposed to work, right, is that you don't go up to Albany for one day and say, hey, we're going to meet politicians. There are people, when organizations are trying to get bills passed and things of that nature, they hire lobbyists. These lobbyists be in Albany from Monday to Wednesday, and probably longer depending on what's going on, because when these politicians are in session in Albany, they up there from Monday to Wednesday. So the lobbyist is up there from Monday to Wednesday having meetings with these politicians, presenting their organization's best interest to try to get laws passed and things of that nature, right? Local 100, the reason why we don't get bills in our favor is because the union administration is not executing properly. You cannot go up to Albany 5 times while they're in session for 6 months and think that you're doing the work. It doesn't work like that, right? The PAC department is severely flawed in Local 100, right? It's severely flawed. What the PAC person should be doing in Local 100 is for 3 days out of the week while they are in session up in Albany, that person should be up in Albany getting to learn these politicians, speaking with them as much as possible, try to get other politicians on board with certain bills, get co-sponsors, get all of that stuff, but they do not do that. They do not do that. The PAC department operates basically from the Union Hall, 195 Montague Street. So when we see bills that we don't get passed, like the Taylor Law, Tier 6, better assault bills to protect us, heart-lung bills for the work environments that we in, which I asked the question like 2 days ago, does our work environments contribute to the cancers that we catch as transit workers? And I also want to talk to transit workers who have cancer and interview them and create a panel so we can make this a conversation, because this is going to benefit us. But the union administration is not doing what they need to do to get bills passed for us in Albany. They think that giving these politicians coke money is enough. That's not how lobbying works. And this has been the blind leading the blind leading the blind from Samuelson. And I'm going to talk about Samuelson for a second in a few. Samuelson, Utano, and now Richard Davis, they don't get how this whole lobbying thing works at all. So when we don't get bills passed and you go up to Albany, like I said, today the members came out. The music was great. The food looked great. The vibe was great. The message was delivered, Paul. The message was delivered, Paul. Bottom line, it was a Broadway show. If you were there looking for entertainment and wanted to hear good music, have food, see a lot of coworkers, have some fun, get the vibe, that was the place to be at. But if you was looking to get some information on how bills are passed, to get to meet politicians as a whole and things of that nature, that didn't happen. I went up to Albany. I was talking about a lot of RFK Jr. I never really talk about RFK on his platform. I'm about to start amping it up and ramping it up. So I was meeting with politicians, talking with people about Kennedy and things of that nature. So the day before, I went up to Albany the day before the actual lobby day, and I went to this restaurant where a lot of politicians be. You never know who you may see. They have a restaurant in the Renaissance Hotel called Wellington's. And, you know, I went there, sat at the bar. Who do I see? I see International President John Sanderson. So we spoke for, you know, we spoke. I don't want to talk about everything that we spoke about, but I just want to say one thing that he tried to bring up to me, because, you know, I was challenging him on a few things. And one thing that he brought up to me was, when all the other unions was getting zeros, we end up getting a raise when other unions didn't. And I just want, because Sammy said, you know, he claims he don't listen to my show, but at the same time, he blocked me from Twitter, from both his personal page and the international page. He was doing a lot for someone he claimed that they don't watch my show. But Sammy said, I want you to think about this. Which, if what you're saying was true and you want to stand on that, you know, there was a time where we got raises and everyone else got zeros. The people who got the zeros during that time, right, they make more base salary than us, right? Their medical benefits is better than ours. They have better work rules. They get vacation after 5 years. They get uniform allowance. They get 10% of their night differential. So even if they did have to take a zero, they still outpace us in every other category. Every other category, right? But like I said, I spoke to Samuelson. We spoke for a minute. You know, I got an opportunity to get some things that I wanted to tell him, and I want to say this too, right? I may not like Samuelson's politics. I may not agree with his moves. I may not agree with Butano. I may not agree with Richard Davis, right? But I don't hate none of these guys. Right, and it's never to the point now, for an exception of Richard Davis, I don't care to ever say anything to him again. You know, whenever a union president go into the newspaper and say that he was a witness to something, to an altercation that he wasn't a witness to, and give a quote to the newspaper in an attempt to try to get me fired, less than we talking about within 10 hours of the incident, there's nothing for us to ever talk about again. You know, that was very – that his conduct was very – if you want to talk about conduct unbecoming, that was conduct unbecoming of a union member as a union president, and nobody held him accountable, right? I don't ever care to talk to Richard Davis again, right? But Samuelson, I don't hate Samuelson. I could talk to Samuelson. I could have a conversation with Samuelson. I don't like his politics. I don't agree. I think that he sells us out. Like, when you look at the fight that he's having now, he's going super hard for Metro North or whatever he's trying to negotiate over there. He never went that hard for us as Local 100 members. And we could draw up we could look at different reasons as to why, right? It's obvious, right? We don't have to say what it is. But it's always good to keep an open line of communication, even with people you don't disagree with. But if they ever try to get you fired, they ever try to get you thrown in jail, they try to, you know, take family out your fool mouth, there's nothing to talk about with these guys at all. Let me get to a caller. Why not? Let's get to a caller and see what's going on. Caller 999999. You're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name when you call it from?
Hey, what's up, Shermel? It's your boy from Signals. I didn't know you came up there today. I would have came by and said hi.
Yeah, I was up there. I was shaking and moving around and meeting a lot of people, taking a lot of pictures. Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
What's on your mind, bro?
Yeah, so basically, like, you sort of covered everything. One of the things I like about Lobby Day is the fact that you're not just going there to listen to people. You're going up there to get some action done. And one of the things I want to thank you about for promoting the petition that I had about Taylor Amendment. And basically, they had Robert Jackson, who's a state senator. I think his district is in Harlem. And he's the chair of the Civil Service and Pension Committee, where that bill is at now. And he was, you know, making a lot of noise about Tier 6 reform. However, he didn't say anything about the Taylor Law Amendment, which is he's sort of in charge of. I've been, like, howling and hounding those guys, him, my state senator, a few other people about it, but, like, no one's talking anything. I can't get anything out of anybody in terms of that. For anyone that's listening and has 5 minutes, just give them a call. It's super quick. I think Jermel got the petition up on his Facebook. Just give them a call. Any little bit of helps. And I just want to get that out there.
Sounds good, bro. Do me a favor. Resend me the petition. So I can repost when I get off this live.
Yeah, no problem. Right. So what you think about today?
I want to ask you what you think about. People always know what I think about. What did you think about Lobby Day?
I mean, like, I don't really care for all the speeches and all of that stuff. I sort of like going down to the action. The other thing that I like is I got a chance to talk to people from other departments. And I shared my petition with them, and, you know, I had a chance to explain to them, like, listen, this guy that was just talking, he can make something happen, but he didn't say anything. I'm like, here's his number. If you have a chance, give him a call. So it's like, I know not everyone can make it out there, and it's sort of, like, frustrating that beyond Lobby Day, there's, like, no organization by the union to people and what's going on, or, like, put pressure on the politicians to, like, get things through. Like you said, it sort of boils down to one day, which is unrealistic. But, you know, you're doing your thing, so at least, you know, at least we get some things done, right?
Yeah, we go try. But, yeah, send me that petition again so I can repost it so we can get some more traction on it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right, no problem. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
Yeah, so I ain't even see him. I wish I would have seen him. But it's always good to keep a line of communication open, even with people that you disagree with. It's important. It's very, 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 very important to do that. Let me see what else do I have before I get to this bombshell. Listen, I'm not really trying to do a long show today. I am very tired today. But it bothers me when these NYPD cops lie and play in our face, right? And they doing it for their own selfish reasons. It don't matter what happens in the subways. The cops play this game. Oh, you know, there was only one shooting, but guess what? There's 4 million riders on the subways, so do not let that one shooting make you feel unsafe. This is the game that they play, and trust me when I tell you, when I release this information in the next few minutes, it is going to blow y'all mind, because I mean, this guy been all over the news, basically discrediting what riders and workers is feeling riding the system. And it's easy for a police officer to say, yeah, yeah, you know, the system is safe. You have a gun. You have a badge. You have handcuffs. You have mace. You have a baton. You can protect yourself. The law-abiding citizens, even the ones who have firearm permits, are not allowed to carry a weapon on the subway. Police officers can. I would feel safe to a certain degree also if I was allowed to carry a firearm everywhere that I could go. No matter what state I go to, no matter what a store, a transit, the Times Square, I would feel safe also. But don't lie to the millions of people who ride New York City Transit. Don't lie to the thousands of workers who work in New York City Transit and tell us that it's safe, because it is not. There has been 4 murders in New York City Transit in the first 3 months of this year. There have been 9 shootings. And I want to bring this up again. Let me bring up this graphic again. Let me see if I can find it. Is this it? Let me see. There has been 9 shootings so far this year, right? 4 murders. 4 murders, right? And look at what this says. 9 shooting victims so far this year, 8 shooting victims in all of 2023, right? How is that safe? We don't care about your percentages. We don't care if you say, well, it's down 15%, and don't play the number games with us. It is not safe. Now, let's get, before I get into this information, I need to remind you guys. If you're watching live right now, please hit the like button. I'm just asking for you guys to hit the like button right now. Let's get these numbers up. Hit the like button. It's very important. Very important. Hit the like button. We're about to go ham. We're about to go ham right now on the NYPD, because they playing in our face. And trust me, this information that I got is going to blow your mind. But let's get into this clip first. Should I? Yeah, let's get into this clip first. Check it out. That officer, right, Kaz Daughtry, ever since I heard him talk, he bothers me to the core. That guy bothers me to the core. Now, he made a statement saying that basically, you know, people hopping the turnstile, the gates, and all this other stuff. Daughtry. And Daughtry is going to be the officer. He's a cold-blooded liar. He cannot be trusted. And we're going to talk about, I got some explosive information on that guy. We're going to get to it. But Daughtry talking about, you know, the gates, this, that. Answer this, Daughtry. They don't want to keep it real with us. They want us to believe that these people is not having help by NYPD. If you worked at Coney Island Stillwell at the train station, NYPD habitually, and there's a police station there inside the subway, the NYPD habitually invites people through the gate for free. This is a habitual thing with these guys. Habitual. This is what they do. Give me 1 second. Let me see out the show real quick. I gotta put this inside of my group. They habitually do this. Now, before I get to the groundbreaking information to show you that these guys are liars, to show you that we can't trust NYPD at all. Eric Adams, what the hell you was thinking when you made Kaz Daughtry, or even, I don't know how he even got to that rank, but he should not be the spokesperson about this stuff right now. But let me get to this next caller. Caller 5032. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Jamal, how you doing? This is Mikado again, retired from Hydraulics, V&D. We spoke, I think it was last week in the evening when you had the late show.
Yeah, how
I'm
you
just,
doing?
I'm retired. I'm just calling and I'm just trying to figure out or saying, in what head do these people think that congestion pricing with the issues that are going on in the subway, that's going to fix anything? It's going to make things worse. I think there's going to be more crime, and they're all about the money. They're not about, they want to push everybody on the train to cause more chaos. Is anybody bringing this up?
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, but I don't see anybody bringing it up. I mean, it's logical. I mean, right now we have crime going on, and they're going to push everybody in the subway to get more money, and it's going to be more crimes. Because the criminals are still going to be there.
I agree.
The homeless are still going to be there.
I agree. Actually, it was brought up today. So with that news clip I just played, I didn't clip it. But they did ask the question about congestion pricing and more people coming into the subways and crime. Maybe I did clip it. I'm not sure. I got another clip to play before I get into the bombshell information. But the reporters are asking the question. It's just the fact that NYPD is lying.
Okay. And what was the final outcome? Did they come to some kind of agreement or did they say
no? No. NYPD is playing a game of saying that there's 4 million riders. You having these one-off instances. They trying to make it seem like in the next clip, it's going to be explained.
They're playing the number game.
You said what?
You know? Because like you always say, they're safe. Management or the upper heads, they go out there. They got bodyguards, so they don't have to worry. Like you say, let them go out there without nobody. And go to the worst neighborhoods. Don't go to the nice neighborhood on the trains, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But are you going to be at the protest on the 4th? I think it is.
My rally, the biggest rally.
I know when your rally is. I'm going to be.
No, I'm going to be at the May 1st rally.
Where
I'm going to be at.
Right.
I don't have time to play any games. I'm going to be at the May 1st rally.
I hear you. Okay. That was pretty much what I called you, because the last time I spoke to you, I forgot all about that. And then I said, I'm not going to call back for one thing, you know. So I was just listening to your program. I said, let me call them and bring this up, because I don't see anybody talking about it as far as, you know, making a big stink about, you know, crime is only going to get worse. There's going to be more people. That means people are going to be pushing on people, and people are going to get frustrated. And you know what happens, you know.
The hands are
going to come up, the guns are going to come out, and, you know, like yesterday, they had an incident in the Rockaway train, right? Did you hear about
Long Island Railroad?
Long Island Railroad, yeah. That's my line, the Far Rockaway line. And I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, shit, they were just talking about Long Island, and look at this, now it happened there too. But, you know, it is what it is. People just got to keep going. And all that with the lobby, like you say, it's just they go up there. I went to a couple of them, and when I saw what was going on, I never went again because I said, this is a joke. This is just playing with people, you know?
I agree.
The entertainment
was good this year. It was a Broadway show.
Yeah.
The entertainment was good this year.
Because the ones that are supposed to get up there and say stuff, which is the union, they never do, you know? They just, you know, they applaud, they clap, and they kiss butt of all these, you know, politicians, you know, to get their brownie points. But, you know the deal.
I agree.
But anyhow, I'm not going to take more of your time because I know you got other callers, but I just figured I'd give you a call about that. And I'll see you May 1st.
I appreciate it.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Yes. Be safe.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
If you guys, he was talking about this rally, right? Make sure you guys tap in to the assault rally May 1st, 12 p.m. at 2 Broadway. It's our annual assault rally for riders and workers. We are not going to allow them to control the narrative when it comes to these assaults, right? We're not going to allow them to control the narrative. Now, let's get into this next clip, and then we're going to expose Officer Daughtry for what's really going on, man. This is nasty. his nasty work. But let's play this next clip. This guy is such a BS artist. Listen to what he's telling us. Since there's no shootings every day, it's safe. So I guess robberies don't count. I guess assaults don't count. I guess slashings don't count. I guess pushing people on the subway tracks don't count. Grand larceny don't count. If those things are happening, it's safe. But if there's a shooting, it's not safe. You see the sleight of hand that they do, and you could just tell, like, there's something about that guy that creeps me out, and he's a cop. So I said, yo, y'all got to pay attention to this, what I'm about to say right now. I said, yo, let me do some research on him. And literally, like they say, literally, this is what came up. Kaz R. Daughtry, badge 3581, black male, former detective, grade one, at chief of department office. Also served at patrol services borough, first deputy commissioner, housing borough, 73rd, 75th, police service area 3, patrol borough, Brooklyn North, community affairs borough. Service started 2006. Ended 2023, right? I don't know how his service ended in 2023 when he is currently a police officer, right? Currently a police officer. But look what's up under that. Look what's up under that. Substantiated allegations. Force, gun pointed, abuse of authority. Threat of force, verbal or physical, untruthful statement, inaccurate official statement, untruthful statement, misleading official statement. What does that mean, people? That means he's a cold-blooded liar. He was found substantiated allegations of untruthful statement. The same thing that he's doing with us right now, lying about how the transit authority is safe. This officer is a cold-blooded liar. And it gets worse. This is his complaints for his whole career. 18 complaints, 51 allegations, 4 substantiated, 1 substantiated command discipline A, 3 substantiated charges, 4 alleged victim uncooperative, 2 closed pending litigation, complaint uncooperative, 11 exonerated, 2 unfounded, 20 unsubstantiated. People, this is Kaz Daughtry. This is the same police officer that's telling the riders and workers that it's safe. He's playing in our face. Now, besides NYPD, what job can you have with 18 complaints, 51 allegations, and 4 substantiated? A transit worker cannot have that many complaints or allegations or substantiated claims and still have a job. But a police officer, someone that has a lot of power, a gun and a badge, and could literally change someone's life by putting handcuffs on them, has all of these complaints. This is who Eric Adams handpicked to choose the lie to the workers and riders of New York City that it's safe. This is who Eric Adams chose, because Eric Adams could tell him to fall back. He's not a good candidate. He's a cold-blooded liar. And let's get into some more of his history. Once again, allegation, untruthful statement, misleading official statement. This is a substantiated claim. Substantiated claim. He's a liar. Another allegation, inaccurate official statement. Another claim of him making statements that were misleading or inaccurate. The same thing he's saying about the subways, about them being safe, he's misleading us and he's being inaccurate. This guy's a cold-blooded liar. Forfeited 5 vacation days and then forfeited 20 vacation days. Who is, like, what's going on here? Another one, abuse of authority, threat of force, verbal or physical, substantiated charge. The force was a gun pointed. This guy, this officer has issues. He has issues. He has issues. Why is he leading the charge? So you're going, we're supposed to believe a police officer who have multiple claims of substantiated allegations. Half of them is about him lying. Is this what we are doing? Is this what we are doing? I mean, just looking at his record, you pointing guns at people. You're lying. Inaccurate or misleading statements. Why should we trust NYPD? Why should we believe anything they got to say? And that's what I'm going to start doing with these police officers. I'm going to start going to the 58 site, typing in their name, and see what they – I didn't do Kemper yet. What's his name? Michael Kemper? Let me see something. Let me see if I can find him. Let me see if something comes up. Chief of Transportation, Michael Kemper. Oh, he has 4 complaints, 1 substantiated. Let's see what the substantiated allegation. Wait, hold up. He got 2 substantiated. Let me see what his substantiated charges are. I'm going to have to do an NYPD show. Oh, my God. He got a retaliatory arrest of a white person, white female, 34, substantiated charge, a retaliatory arrest. Think about that. You have a police, a guy in charge of the transit bureau with a retaliatory arrest on his record. How can they be trusted? How can these guys be trusted? How? How can they be trusted? The NYPD, I mean, look, I want to play this video again. Look how he just slithers and lies. Check it out. We not going to allow, over here, Officer Daughtry needs you to pay attention. We are not going to allow you to play those games with us over here. We work in a system. Y'all don't want to address the police officers sleeping inside the break rooms, hiding out in the break rooms. You don't want to address police officers letting people through the gates. And then now you want to tell us that it's safe. You got to be out of your mind. Let me get to the caller. Caller 6483, you're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's the name where you calling from?
How you doing, Jamel? Celso Garcia, bus operator, Bronx, New York.
What's going on, Celso?
It's ridiculous. I have friends that are police officers, and the reason why they don't get promoted is because they're honest cops or they're honest people. The same thing as politicians. A lot of them don't move up the ranks because they're not honest people. The honest people, they have big stick management. Just like we have big stick management, they're ready to come down at certain people. But other people, they'll look the other way. Because at the end of the day, the commissioner decides if a police officer gets fired or gets terminated. Guess what? The whistleblowers get terminated in NYPD. Just like in MTA, they also get terminated. So those that speak out and try to be honest and point out the corruption, those are the ones that get terminated. The ones that play the game are the ones that get promoted. I know people that are very efficient, very knowledgeable, very honest police officers, and they don't get promoted. They always get passed over, over and over and over for years for promotion. And it's easy for them to transfer you, do retaliatory transfers, to transfer you to someplace really far away from your home. It's big stick management, just like the MTA. So a lot of these small beat officers, some of the actions are theirs, and some of the actions are directed by the top brass, by the powers to be. Just like certain, they're told not to give a certain amount of tickets, they're told in what areas they're going to focus on and where they want the tickets from. They have the quotas. And those people that point out those quotas are retaliated against. Those people are faced with consequences. And no one wants to speak about it. It's one of those things that it's not in favor of the everyday citizen, and most people are not willing to speak about it or point it out. And that's why there's 12,000 less police officers on the street from when the Bloomberg administration was in office. 12,000 less police officers, to the point that Keyshawn Siwa, the last chief, resigned in disagreement and disgust in the Eric Adams administration. She didn't want to criticize him publicly, but she was disgusted because to be an NYPD officer, you had to have run the mile. And under 12 minutes, I believe, a mile in 12 minutes, they cut that out. The height requirement, you have to be 5'9 or higher and meet certain fitness requirements, were cut down. They were chopped down. To the point because it's like a lot of people feel like they just got lowered their standards dramatically. They even wanted to get rid of the that you need an associate's degree, 60 college credits to become a police officer. You just needed a GED or high school degree to become a police officer that has the right report, has to be able to write tickets, has to be able to do a lot of things at a little bit higher level. And so I'm not justifying the actions of the everyday police officer, but I'm saying that it's a very difficult job right now. That's why in order to retire, some of them are trying to retire even before the time, even if they lose money. They just want to get out. Just like us, we want to get out, they want to get out. They're not interested in getting too involved. They see the corruption. They see the bad that's going on. And just like he said, that when the reporter was asking him about defecation in the subway, that's not no normal thing. That is a normal thing. But is it a crime? They don't report it as a crime. Is it a crime? It is a crime. It's a misdemeanor. Or a violation, but it's still a crime. Vandalism, breaking windows or breaking stuff or causing damage to public property, even though they don't treat it as a crime, it is a crime. So that's the attitude that we see every day as transit workers, that these small things, they see it as, oh, it's not a big deal. So if somebody takes a glass bottle and throws it at you, oh, don't worry about it. It didn't hit you. It's not a big deal, but it is a traumatizing experience. Somebody spits on you. It might not supposedly be a crime, according to them, but it's still something traumatizing that will change your life and change the way you look at things and the way you look at other human beings. So they don't see them as traumatizing because they're not out there. But I'm sure if you went to their fine restaurant with their fine suits and their fine places, and somebody did that to them while they're eating their fine steak, and somebody just came and spit in their face, they will be upset. They will want that person to get the maximum penalty. Right? And that's what I'm saying, that it's not fair just because we're workers that we get treated as if we're not part of the city, when our jobs are more important probably than even the CEO or the president of the company. Our jobs are more important because without us, the system doesn't move. the same thing as the system. Without the beat cops, the rest of the top brass can't enjoy their meals and can't enjoy their times. Like the DC-37 founder got bound, he said, you talk about inefficiencies and corruption and all this about among the workers. First, you have to look at the top and see what you guys are doing. You got a comfortable day. You don't have to worry about your life. So what the transit workers do, and a lot of the beat cops also have to worry about their life and preserving themselves, because in the end of the day, nobody cares about anyone. You agree, Terrell?
I agree.
That in the end of the day, we're stuck with the problem. A lot of times it's like interrogation. We get treated like criminals as transit workers, and I get upset because we get treated as criminals. We're just regular people doing jobs to get our paycheck and go home. But most of the time, we get treated as criminals. We get interrogated. What do you say to that person? What do you do to that person? What made them do that to you? Let's look at the footage and see what you did to that person to cause them to do whatever you had to do. There was even times that they would read people's lips just to see if you said anything. Maybe you might have cursed or you might have said something that was disrespectful to try to get you, but never the protecting the worker. Never. That's the last thought in their head. The first thought in their head is big stick management. What can we do to replace this person? And this person is replaceable. Not this person is valuable, but this person is replaceable. So that's the same thing applies to politicians. They're full of it. They could smile on your face, shake your hand, act like they care, and then not even lift a finger to help any of us or help anyone in everyday life. When it's time to pass that bill that's going to help transit workers, they act like they don't know nothing. They act like, oh, man, I wasn't there. I had a fly. I was out of town. I'm sorry, but I'm with you guys. But in the end of the day, that's why a lot of people are disappointed in the system. A lot of people are disappointed and they don't vote and they don't get involved because they feel like everything's set up to benefit a certain group of people. You're either in the club or you're not in the country club. And right now, New York City is feeling like a country club. You're either in the club or you're not in the club. You either have safety or you don't have safety. That's my biggest point. What are we going to do next? What are we going to do next? We're just sitting there with everyone just acting like they care, but not caring. They all show up to the press conference, and with the CTA that was assaulted in the Bronx, all of a sudden Richard Davey and Libra both showed up. When was the last time they did that? They've been here for a long time, for a few years already, and they have never showed up to the hospital. They have never showed up to any of the workers when they assaulted or they get hurt or even showed up to court. And their response is, oh, we should ban them from the system. We should ban these people from the system. That's their answer. But they're not being realistic, because in the end of the day, when the cameras are gone, we're stuck with the issue. And this person, Daughtry, he knows what goes on. He knows what goes on. He knows what goes on. And I'm sure he doesn't treat the officers the way they should be treated. And it's sad because now they're saying like at least 200 are retiring per year and no one wants to do the job anymore. It used to be that there was families, the whole families that did the job. Grandparent, the dad was a cop, the son was a cop. Now it's like, nope, we're not doing that. And they're paying them how much? $150,000 a year? $150,000 a year.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the base value.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? That though, we're not getting the bang for the buck. That we're spending a lot of money on these resources. And we're not getting any results. So we just say, add more police, pay them more, give them better benefits. And we're not getting anything in return. That was my main point. When are we going to get returns and have safety for everyone? Thank you, Tramiel. Have a good night, and thank you for everything you do. Thank you for going to Albany and representing us and truly representing us. I wish everyone had the same mindset.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night. All right. So this Daughtry guy, once again, he got too many substantiated claims. His substantiated claims talking about inaccurate statements, misleading statements. This guy should not be the spokesperson for the NYPD telling the rocks of New York City Transit that it's safe. He's not qualified to tell us that it's safe. He's not qualified at all, guys. Not qualified at all, bottom line. Now, like I said, make sure you guys share out the live. If you're watching live right now, I don't care which platform, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, please hit the like button. Like the video, please. Also, if you support the platform, you see it right there. Where's that? Right there. $ Progressive Action 100. Donate to the Cash App. YouTube, you can send in a super chat in those chats right now. You could join the channel, subscribe to the channel for 99 cents a month. On Facebook, you could send us some stars. We're going to keep the heat coming. We're doing the shows more often. Our platform is growing like crazy, specifically speaking, on Instagram and YouTube and Twitter. Twitter. For some reason, I think I'm shadow banned on Facebook. My Facebook number's been low. My YouTube number's been higher than my Facebook. When it was the opposite a couple of weeks ago, I don't know what's going on, but it's all good. But look, I want to tell y'all this. We're not going to allow them to play in our face. I don't care if it's the MTA. I don't care if it's NYPD. I don't care if it's Local 100. You guys can rely on this platform, Progressive Action. You can rely on my team to continue to give you the truth. Jason, Drummond, Nuke, you can count on us to give you the truth via these lives on Progressive Action. And we're not going to stop. We're not going to allow them to play in our faces on any level at all. We're going to give you guys the truth, whether you like it, whether you agree with it, or you don't. You're going to get the truth. Thanks for tuning in. I'll catch you guys later. Peace.